Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 331. You know what I was thinking about? For some reason, the Sinister Sightings started playing on my thing like it was like the up next. And we just jump right in all the time and we never say what this episode is. Like, what if this was somebody's first time listening? I was like, they don't know what the fuck we're doing.
That's very true.
So if this is your first time listening, these are our Sinister Sightings episodes where people send us in emails of anything, like, well, not anything, but anything. Maybe like a spooky experience you've had or someone in your family. You know of any true crime stuff in your area you want to share. We love an ambient story because people be doing some weird shit when they're on sleep medicine.
Weird shit that kids say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, oh, you know, my other favorite ones that we get, stuff that happens in like hospitals and nursing homes and stuff. Those are always good, too. So if you want to send in those stories and have them read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. Okay, now we're getting started. The first one, spooky-ish stories. Hi, ladies. I've followed y'all for about 6 months or so, but decided to write in with one of my stories. When I was around 3 years old, circa 1990, my parents separated and my mother bought an older, affordable house for the three of us, my mom, younger brother, and myself. At this time in Texas, I guess real estate laws were lax. This is important for later. Plus, it was one of the only homes in the area that my mom could afford as a single parent. All this to say, I'm sure there were several reasons this home was affordable. We would soon find out. Next door to our property was an old cemetery, one of the oldest in our area. This cemetery was from the mid-1800s. It contained the first settlers and founders for the city. My mom was like, weird, but whatever. It's affordable, and we moved into the house. My mom was in her late 20s, early 30s, and was a bit of a party on the weekends kind of gal. It was normal for all of the surrounding neighbors to go over to someone's house and drink the day and night away. We're talking music, drinks, and let the kids run around the property to ride bikes, play tag, whatever. Anyway, one day, my mom and two or three of the neighbors were sitting around our house talking. Apparently, no one was drinking or partying or any of the devil's lettuce, if you know what I mean. She swears everyone was completely sober. So she was sitting there in our living room talking to the neighbors, and she looks up. And she sees a near full-bodied apparition appear in the doorway between the living room and her bedroom. The bedroom door was open. She said it was a woman who was dressed in old, tattered clothing. The woman looked away and appeared to be motioning quietly to something. She moved her hand to motion and look back before heading into my mom's closet and disappearing. My mom and all of the neighbors swear they saw the same thing. Again, all completely sober in the middle of the day. Sometime after this, my mom decides to head over to the cemetery. There's a historical marker that is placed at the front of the property. It reads something like an unmarked section in the blank direction omitted by me for privacy, corner of the graveyard, was reserved for slave burials. If you look at this specific direction that this marker is talking about, it is directly in my mom's large backyard. So mom calls her realtor soon after and starts asking questions. She said she asks her straight up, "So exactly how many bodies are buried in my backyard?" The realtor's response, long pause, "Oh, quite a few. Quite a few." As a child, I remember feeling like I was being watched at times while playing in the backyard. I swear I've seen small orbs on several occasions. The cemetery caretaker stopped tending to it in the early 2000s or so, and it fell into disrepair. We're talking full-fledged forest taking over. If you weren't a local, you wouldn't know there was a cemetery there. Sometime in the last 5 years, a descendant of the original family found it and did a lot of cleanup to restore it, and it's now regularly maintained. My mom still lives on the property, and it's been relatively paranormally quiet the last decade or so. Story 2. When I was about 11 or 12, my mom went out bar hopping one night and left me home alone. It was a different time, y'all. I guess my brother was at a friend's house that night, so it was just me. The neighbor's kid, Jay, who was about 15 or 16 at the time, and I had a walkie-talkie just in case I needed anything. Me and Jay grew up together, and he lived at the house catty-corner across the street. Our house had this mega-thick wooden front door with a little peek window to see through. I was scared, so I stayed up most of the night watching TV. Around midnight, I started hearing noises outside and thought it might be my mom getting home. As I got to the front hallway, expecting my mom to unlock the door with her key, nothing. Just some heavy footsteps and leaves crunching. I ran to the walkie-talkie and called Jay. He answered fairly quickly and asked what was up. I told him what I was hearing and asked if it was him. He's like, "No, I'm at my house. Why?" He got his binoculars, LOL, and looked over to my house and he's like, "There's nothing there." He swore it wasn't him playing a prank. So I'm like, maybe it's just an animal since we do live in the country and there were coyotes in the area. Note, it definitely wasn't one of our dogs. We had two chihuahuas and they were inside. Also, weird, I don't remember them barking, but whatever. This didn't sound like an animal. It distinctly sounded like slow moving footsteps and leaves crunching under them. I was terrified, but I didn't want to keep using the walkie-talkie to call Jay because he would know I was scared and I'd never hear the end of it. Anyway, I heard it again and finally slowly got up the nerve to get onto my tippy toes and see if I can see anything through the door. Nothing. Eerily quiet. I finally got so tired and just couldn't keep my eyes open much longer. I was like, well, I'm going to go hide under my blanket and whatever it is won't be able to get me in there. My mom got home a few hours later and that was that. I never did see who or what was making the noise. Creep it real, Trisha.
That is unnerving to learn. You know, quite a few are on your property.
But does that make it tax exempt because it's a cemetery? Or does it have to be one of your loved ones that live on it?
I mean, I don't know. Oh my gosh. But just thinking about why is TV so comforting?
I think it's just because it's noise. Like it's just something in the background so that you don't have to hear the slow, creepy, crunchy footsteps outside.
Yeah, but I'm the same way. Like if I get scared, I have the TV on. I've watched the TV until I fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, I don't know. You would, in my head, it's like, oh, just make yourself go to sleep. But I can't. And so I just like watch, you know, like Law and Order SVU.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a comfort, just the sound. And it makes you feel like you're not alone. Y'all remember when Donna and I didn't know what devil's lettuce was?
Okay, no, I
Oh,
knew.
I didn't know you did? Okay.
Yes. Well,
remember when I didn't know?
Because I had said that that lawyer guy like came across the thing and he was like, he had some devil's lettuce. And I was like, dude, is this guy the Lincoln lawyer? Like, who the fuck is this dude? He was the coolest lawyer ever.
Mm-mm, don't remember any of that, but I do remember not knowing what it was.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Talking about the binoculars, Chris was saying I should go spy on someone. And he was like, he said it in such a nonchalant way. Like I was really going with him. We're like, oh, okay, what do you need me to do? But he was like, hey, do y'all have a Five Below here? Well, he said Five and Below. And I'm like, not the fight that I needed to have. So yes, we have a Five and Below. He's like, go get those glasses with like the oversized nose and mustache and stuff. And I'm like, wait, what does he want me to do? You know, like, what? I don't know. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, then just get one, like get a binocular, but only one. So I guess inocular. It just cracked me up so much.
That's funny.
I'm like, wait, you're fucking joking. I'm like thinking, yeah, I have time to go to Five Below. What's going on? What you need?
Well, y'all remember my history with the binoculars. Dad had this really fancy set that set anyway, whatever. He had this really fancy set of binoculars that was in like a leather hard case that you just like slid them down vertical in. And I would go and I would get them. And then I would watch the high school football people practice so I could see them in their pants. Like I'm talking, I'm like five doing this.
Oh my God.
I had been boy crazy my whole life.
I know I knew that, but I forgot. Which is why when she had got my spot in the hotel that time, and I wanted that, that's why I was like, "Ooh, cute boys." And she's like, "Where?" Works like a charm.
Oh, I'm so predictable.
She likes a peephole, apparently.
I just like boys, men. I've just always been boy crazy, even as a 5-year-old. Like, what 5-year-old is like, ooh, sexy football players in shorts or pants or like, what a weirdo.
No, we were all like, I think our generation were hypersexual.
Yes, because we watched like Silk Stockings when we weren't supposed to. That fucking intro made me throb. Why do I say things? Like, instantly want that cut.
But, like, yeah, me and Tiffany would be like, oh, our Barbies are having sex. I mean, would they just be laying on the bed on top of each other? Yeah. But, like, why are Barbies having sex?
I don't know.
That could be
like a social experiment, like a social study. Like, why are late millennials so hypersexualized? No, early millennials, not late millennials. Like, late Gen X, early millennial.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, wow. We went on a tangent there. So, the next one. Hello, lovely ladies. It has been a while since I've written in, and I've heard your pleas for more stories. So, in my best Mrs. Doubtfire voice, help is on the way, dear. For this story, I will use a different name for me since it's work-related. We'll say my name is Dorothy because, well, she's the most relatable golden girl for me. To keep with the Golden Girls theme, I'll use Rose for the resident's name. Anyways, I worked at a nursing home years ago, and during this time, I had many sightings. I'll send in others separately to hopefully keep the stories going. One of the stories that sticks out in my mind the most is because it was with one of my favorite residents. She was put on hospice at the time and was nearing the end of her life. One night, while I was on that unit passing medication, I asked the other staff if they needed help repositioning Rose and making sure that she was comfortable. So my coworker and I went in and was talking to Rose as we were making sure she was comfy, even though at this point Rose couldn't talk or respond. It was still something we did to ensure the resident knew that we were there for them if they could hear us. While my coworker and I are getting ready to leave the room, we hear Rose take a big breath. So we both looked and we noticed that Rose was no longer breathing. As I went to sit on the side of the bed and feel for a pulse, I noticed the light in the hallway flicker. My coworker noticed it too, and we both looked into the hallway as one by one the light fixtures in the hall flicked off and then on, one after the other. My coworker looked into the hallway and said, "There's no one out here." My coworker and I were both witchy, so we took it as a way of Rose saying goodbye as she left. I said my goodbyes to Rose and stood up to leave the room to call the family. At this point, for some reason, it didn't occur to me until that moment. The radio station that we had been playing for Rose, which normally played instrumental music, was suddenly playing George Strait's "All My Exes Live in Texas." This still to this day baffles me and makes me chuckle when I think about it, as I felt it was just randomly bizarre. Well, I look forward to writing more stories in. Keep up the great work that you both do. You give me something to look forward to each week. You have given us like-minded creepsters a safe place to share our experiences, and for that, I'm forever grateful. For those keeping track, today is July 20th, 2025. Until next time, Y'all creep it real and don't get scared.
I just said that the medical ones were some of my favorites. Uh-huh. There we got one. But did all of Rose's exes live in Texas?
Right. Maybe she was like, if I'm going out, I'm not going out on instrumental music.
But she also was like, and like, I don't know. I just picture like a, what's the lady's name that is from American Horror Story? Not the one that you're thinking of, but the older one. You're going to think of what's her face that's married to what's her face. Not
Sarah
her.
Paulson? No.
Yeah, not her. The no. older lady. What's her name?
There's so many older ladies there. I don't know who.
Jessica Lange.
Okay.
I just
like original.
Yeah. I just picture like Jessica Lange walking down the hall and like flicking her hand up to like this light and then this light and then this light, you know?
Yeah.
She went out with a bang.
For real. That reminds me of the motion sensor lights that you see in like especially horror movies, but it's like in a dark library or something, you know, and mm-hmm. then they go in and then that's when the light goes on. But then it's like, wait, why is the light going on over there? And why is it like someone's moving? That always terrifies me. Like, I think that would be a great use in like a scary scary haunted house kind of thing. Because seriously, that sends me.
And I wonder if she waited until y'all were in there to like, so she wasn't alone, or if she was like, it just happened to be that time.
Yeah. It seems like she went peacefully. Though I will say, sometimes I just have to take a deep breath. And Chris is always like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. Do you ever just not need to take a deep breath and like breathe it out? Like a big sigh? I'm like, is that not a normal occurrence?
Well, probably not if you're talking that high pitched to it.
But yeah, I'm just like, sometimes I just need to reset my like nervous system or something.
No, I totally get that because I do the same thing and Colby will be like, what's the sigh for? What's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. I just can't breathe. Shit.
Yes.
It's just my low hum of perpetual anxiety. I can't help it.
Yes.
Okay, the next one. Sinister sighting story. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I've been meaning to write in since I heard my last story about a year and a half ago where I got locked in my creepy dirt and definitely haunted basement as a kid, but ADHD. Today, I'm going to tell you about a local legend from where I grew up in upstate New York. Her name is Abigail West. Abigail was born about 1764 and died in about 1811 in Queensbury, New York. Folklore says that on May 11th of 1811, Abigail West was struck and killed by lightning while near what is now Butler Pond on West Mountain, and her remains were not found for weeks after. She crawled more than a mile looking for help before eventually dying. She was buried in the West Cemetery on West Mountain as soon as she was found. Since that time, she's been searching all of West Mountain trying to find her children. After 40 years, locals decided to dig up and move her body down to the Bay Street Cemetery in Glens Falls. To the horror of the diggers, she wasn't there. It was then that people started calling Abigail a witch, and also when she started haunting the mountain. It's said that she burned down her old house and lights fires in the chimney every night. If you go up to West Mountain and you find the brick chimney, just wait. She just might start up a fire and then chase you right off the mountain. Others have found strange animal pelts and a feeling of being watched while walking in the woods around Butler Pond. One night, my friends and I went to the chimney. Paranormal activity doesn't really scare me. I grew up in a haunted house, but after about 10 minutes of being there, I felt so uneasy, I started bawling and saying we needed to leave. As soon as we got back into the car, a strike of lightning came and hit the spot where we were sitting by the chimney. It wasn't even storming. I'm not sure if what I was experiencing was paranormal or my body just somehow felt the electric charge coming, but we never got out of the car there again. I hope sending this in helps keep sinister sightings going. I think I may go into APC withdrawal if I don't get my 3 episodes a week since I'm a Patreoner. Love you guys and all the stories you share. Creep it real. And if you get scared, it might just save your life. Cece from Atlanta, Georgia. I wonder if you did just feel the pressure. But like, why was her body missing? Where'd she go?
Yeah, why was her body missing? Also, doesn't she know that I cannot run from her on a mountain?
Okay. You need to change that sentence. Okay. I can't run. Period.
I knew where you were going.
There does not need to be a qualifier to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Abigail, be nice. God. That is scary, though, that the lightning happened right where y'all were.
For real. I really bet that you felt the electricity.
Okay, the next one. Creepy kid stories.
Dang, another one of our examples.
I know. Hello, ladies. I'm going to tell you about all the creepy things that have happened since I've had my daughter. When I was pregnant with my daughter, my husband and I had a big argument. I went to bed and he went to watch TV. I was laying in bed with the door closed. All of a sudden, it opened. It opened and closed over and over again, about 5 times. I was trying to remain calm and got out of bed to shut the door properly, but when I was about to touch the doorknob, it slammed shut and I could not open the door. I had to call out for my husband to let me out. A few years later, when she was around 3, she was in bed with me while my husband was doing some night work. Her face turned into a terrified expression as she looked at my doorway. She said, "What is he doing? Why isn't he saying anything?" I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life. I asked her what she was looking at, and she said, "A scary man is standing there looking at us and not saying anything." I turned on the lamp, and she said he went away. This happened 2 more times over the next month. The 3rd time, she said he didn't disappear when I turned on the lamp. I said that he needed to leave us alone, and thankfully she said that worked because that was the only thing I could think to do. He hasn't come back since, and I really hope he doesn't. Last one. When my daughter turned 4, we were playing when, out of nowhere, she told me that she didn't like her husband. She proceeded to tell me that he used to hit her, and once they had a fight, and he was chasing her down the street. That's when he got hit by a car and died. And then she married a different man, and he was nice to her. I tried to ask her follow-up questions, but she wouldn't answer any. It made me so sad that if this was her past life, like, it just seemed to be so sad. If I can think of any more, I'll send them through. Thanks, Jess.
Kids really do say the darndest things.
They do. And that would have scared me, too, when she's, like, obviously seeing something. Like, even if it's her imagination or whatever, but to have that terrified look and to be like, he's just staring and not saying anything.
Right.
Don't like it.
I wish you could have gotten more out of her about, like, what was her name, you know, all of that, so that you could have then maybe looked it up.
But that is sad if that was her past life. Like, fuck. Everyone else can remember, you know, like... Well, I guess it's all tragic stuff that I'm thinking about. Like, oh, I lived in whatever with the Titanic. Well,
yeah,
that didn't turn out great. Or the little boy that we had, I think that was another sinister sighting that he had, like, went to, like, Spain or something. And he was like, "I used to walk these streets when I was a soldier." And it's like,
right.
Well, never mind. He was at war. So it's all bad shit.
I know. Why can't they remember being like, "I was in love and we died happy and old."
Right.
Like, it's never that. But, or, is that what people said? Like, how they say, like, oh, they reached, like, self-actualization and they had a happy life with no trauma. And that's why they can't remember that, because they keep having to get to that.
Very true.
Y'all like how I workshop this out loud? Okay, the next one. Hi, Donna and Carrie. Longtime listener here. And in fact, I've written in before about how your humor helped heal my daughter recovering from a terrible bout with epilepsy and Paranormal Activity that used to terrorize my then toddler. I often hear stories come up on the Sinister Sightings about the Stanley Hotel, and I wanted to share my encounter with the paranormal there. In 2022, my husband and I took 3 of our 4 children on vacation to Colorado. Our oldest is an adult on his own. We planned a day in the beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, with a ghost tour at the Stanley. I was beside myself, excited and nervous to have some type of obvious activity. Our tour director told us to go ahead and take lots of photos, as we may notice something later that wasn't seen with the naked eye. My husband is a skeptic, even though we previously lived in a haunted house and he was a witness to activity, but that's another story. Anyway, the tour was awesome, very informative, and the hotel itself is gorgeous. Our daughter's service dog even had an encounter where she sensed the hotel's previous mail carrier dog that died several years ago at 17 years old. So when we were looking through our photos that evening, my daughter pointed out a guy she knew wasn't in our tour group. I agreed that I knew he wasn't there as well, but when I zoomed in to get a better look at him, he literally had no body. He was basically a floating head with mist. Super creepy and cool at the same time. Thank you for always keeping me laughing and sharing great stories. Andrea W. from Colorado. P.S. We love Colorado so much, we moved there a year after our ghost tour. Also, I don't know if it's Andrea. So I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Because like around these parts, it's Andrea.
Yeah. But I have a coworker named Andrea.
Yeah.
I do want to go to the Stanley Hotel. I really want to go to Colorado.
Me too. Let's go.
Maybe the Stanley Hotel is where we can have our next thing.
Girl, we ain't got no money.
Oh, gosh. How did you know that the service dog saw the mail post mail dog?
That. Yeah, I thought that. I was like, wait, how'd you know that? Maybe their, I don't know. I was going to say their tail, but why would it be their tail? Not T-A-I-L, their T-A-L-E.
Like on the tour?
Yeah, like the, no. Like, how would the dog know? And I was like, well, maybe it was its tail. Like, if they sense, like, you know, like their dog, a dog's tail about, like,
oh, yeah, like if it's gluten or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, well, that wouldn't make any sense.
But maybe, like, I don't know. We need all the
answers. Or would it be T-E-L-L, their tail?
Yeah,
I don't fucking know anything. You're like, yeah, like the tour guide? I'm like, no.
Like, that's what I thought you meant. Like, oh, they're the tail.
No,
and they're like,
because I don't know how to spell anything.
I think it's cool that y'all going on that trip, doing the ghost tour and everything, really like set y'all up to where you wanted to move there.
Like,
and
literally changed their lives.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, last one. Okay, so a lot of times Carrie's name is spelled wrong because, you know, she has a weird spelling. Like, it's a weird one, all right?
It's not weird.
It is.
It's just not with a C.
But most people would say it's K-A-R-R-I-E.
No.
That's Carrie.
You think?
Yes.
I think most people say C-A-R-R-I-E. Anyway, it's not. It's K-E-R-R-I.
What did I say?
You said K-A-R-R-I-E.
I meant C-A-R-R-I-E.
Everybody is so confused right now.
Sorry. Like Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of people spell Carrie's name. But this time, someone got my name wrong. But they said, hi, Donald. Hi, Carrie. This is Brandy.
Now, you know that was just a dang autocorrect because have to, like, I have my phone set to where it won't change yours.
Yeah, because didn't it want to, like, scream my name all the time?
Yes, it would always change it to all caps.
That reminds me of the professor in Daria when, like, every time I think about caps just randomly, it would be him with his big eye that he would, like, emphasize words on. You don't remember that? Okay, mm-mm. Cool. Anyway, I just thought it was really cute. Like, oh, okay, well, it's not you this time, Carrie. It's me.
Right.
But, okay. I'm from West Virginia, living in Arizona. I know that you girls are afraid of running out of a story, so I thought I would share some stories of my mother's living in the house in Spanishburg, West Virginia. So eventually my dad did get all of the repairs done and they moved in. My mom at this point had not seen or heard anything other than thinking that she might have heard what my dad did. My mom was a churchgoer and just kind of prayed and that was it. So my dad worked a second shift job in the coal mines. So he would get home around 11 or 12 at night. And over a period of time, he would call my mom from the bedroom to come fix him coffee. He did this several times and eventually she got annoyed because she was in bed after taking care of my sister all day. So eventually she asked him, I need you to tell me why you are consistently asking me to come fix you coffee when I'm in bed. And he said, yeah. He would sit there in the dark, but it wasn't totally dark because there was a light shining in from the church across the street. But he said that he had seen something several nights, but he wasn't sure what it was. He thought it could be just shadows from the light outside, so he decided to start closing the curtains completely. And on this night, he closed the curtains completely, and even though it was pitch black in the house, he said that there was a light in the center of the living room, and what he was seeing was an old lady with a purple cloak, and she was just standing there looking at him. So he didn't know if he was seeing things, and if this was, you know, truly what he was seeing, or was it his own eyes playing tricks on him? He wasn't sure. So he yelled for my mother like he had several times, and she came in, and she pretty much told him, "You know, I'm going to fix you coffee this time, but after this, I'm not, because you can fix it yourself. There's no need to wake me up almost every night to fix you coffee, because I'm asleep with your daughter." So she's like, "You need to tell me what's going on." So he sat her down and told her that he'd been seeing shadows and everything, but on that particular night, he had shut the curtains because he thought it was shadows from the light or whatever, and he just didn't want to deal with it. But instead, the living room was kind of lit by something. He didn't know what it was, and he asked her, "When you walked through the living room, did you feel anything?" And she was like, "No, I didn't feel anything. What are you talking about?" And he told her that whenever she walked through the living room, she actually walked through the lady in the cloak, and my mom never felt anything. She never saw what he saw, so she just kind of brushed it off as, you know, my dad doesn't like the dark or whatever. She wasn't sure what was going on. Things continued happening with my dad, and my mom just kind of went along with it and just continued to pray. So this is what she did. And eventually he did stop seeing the woman, but again, no idea why, no idea who it was or whatever. So that's the story on that one. And I'll send you two more about this house. Thanks for reading my story. I love your podcast and I love you girls, Brandy.
Well, that's scary as shit, but also make your own fucking coffee.
Right?
Don't wake me up.
Don't wake me up before you go-go.
I was just about to say, I don't care what. And then I couldn't remember the band's name, so I stopped.
Yeah. Don't wake me up to make you coffee. Thank you for working, but like, we better have it on a fucking like timer or something that is going to start making coffee when you get home.
Right. Thank you for working, but bitch, I am too. So don't wake me up from my slumber.
But I am glad that he didn't say,
"Wham!" That's who sings it.
Yeah. I'm so glad that he didn't tell your mom, like, "You just walked through this woman." Like, first he asked her, did she feel anything? Because I think he wanted validation, but instead your mom's like, "No, I didn't feel anything. Just hatred for you."
Right.
But also, why was the light coming in from the church and stuff?
I don't know. Blackout curtains.
Ooh.
Well, thank y'all so much for sending in these stories. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.